Hello and welcome to the Beginner's Handbook. I'm Jordan.
I'm Jamie.
And in this episode, we're going to talk about our experience running games for new players. So just a wee bit, something light. We've actually covered a lot of this stuff in bits and bobs across lots of different episodes.
Yeah.
But we just wanted to cover it in one.
Yeah, it's always been the afterthought, the tagged on part.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that we've never given it a great deal of time. It's just been that if we've been talking about like one of our earlier episodes, how to get started, like from a DMGM's point of view, we kind of more focused on, you know, you need dice, you need this, you know, we focused on it from a kind of mechanical point of view almost. And then in other episodes, although we've talked about new players and how it might affect them, there's always been some greater focus behind it, like mm-hmm. again another early one that we tackled, romance. We've not revisited that one.
That was one of my favourites. I remember.
Yeah.
At the time, it was a yeah.
Oh well.
Oh, there we go. It's just made
up for the future to look for that one.
Yeah, part two.
Yeah.
Need to change the thumbnail.
This time it's personal.
Yeah, yeah. So that's something just a wee bit about our first games running it, and then just some of the stuff we might recommend, maybe to avoid some of the pitfalls that we did,
mm-hmm.
If any, of course. I'm sure they were perfect. But we could give each other a reality check as well. So just as usual, then we'll have a couple of questions for yourself, Sen. I think just to start, let's take a step back and go, we're wondering, how long have you, assuming you've been running games, how long have you actually ran games for? We're just curious, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of people that have played a lot of games. There'll be a lot of people out there who have ran way more than us, even though we've been around the RPG block a while.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people who have been playing for 15 years plus.
And I'm going to jump over you, and I'm going to throw out a randomly undiscussed question, which is, why did you start running games?
That's a good one.
Yeah, because for me, from my point of view, my preference is always to play. So I'm curious as to why you want to run them.
That is a very good question, actually. I like that. I wish I had thought of that in this very prepared episode. That would be super interesting to know, because not everybody likes to run games.
Yep.
There's nothing wrong with that. And some people like to run an occasional game, but like you, prefer to sit in the player seat more often. And there's lots of reasons for it. People might just not like the work, but not every game's a lot of work. But usually it's all the other stuff that comes with it that maybe just doesn't appeal to people. And I know of some people that would definitely prefer sitting in the, they've got no intention to ever run a game. They just aren't interested. They enjoy playing, but running, they just don't, because they'd rather sit and enjoy the experience. I'm not saying it's not fun to run it, but they'd rather enjoy playing than actually needing all the other kind of other stuff that comes with it.
Yeah.
So I would say that's a great couple of questions, especially for GMs. And if you're new, I would actually say, what would you consider, if you're interested in running games, what would you like to run? Is there something you'd like to dip your toes in? Maybe it's a new system, you know, you want to try. Maybe it's a new type of game, a theme. Maybe it's horror versus fantasy, or is it an action-focused game like Feng Shui? Do you want to try something like that? Super action-focused, dead fun. So we'd just like to hear that from yourselves who are listening or watching. So, okay then. So I think we'll just jump straight in, and just to give, we asked you, like, how long have you been running the game? So I think it's only appropriate that we start with our first experience running a game, playing a game. I meant to say, just to kind of set up, like, because we started playing. That's really what happened. And we started off playing games. I'd been playing them longer than Jamie, but really it didn't become regular until it was our group started playing, and then we both played the game, and we were both in the same game. For me, it was quite interesting. I was a bit apprehensive because I wasn't super into D&D. The idea of doing D&D felt too much. Mm-hmm. I felt the same playing Call of Cthulhu for the first time. Thought, nah, it's not my jam. Hate board games. There's no way I'm going to enjoy a role-playing game. But with D&D, it was like fantasy, which I'm not super as interested. It's not that I don't like it. It doesn't grab me the way that maybe a horror game would. So it just didn't appeal to me super much. But I went in a bit apprehensive. I had a total blast the first time because it was fun. It was just silly. And it was a lot of fun. How did you find it?
Kind of similar, but rather than coming from a point of view where you know, I'd played a couple of games before, but nothing ever regular and that kind of thing. Totally brand new for me. I wasn't super keen on doing it in the first place. I had basically only turned up because it was our friends that ran it and that they wanted to do it. So I went, oh, okay, I'll give it a go. I'll see what it's like. And again, me going into it, the kind of perception / fear, I suppose, was, oh no, I'll turn up. I'll need to wear a silly hat and I'll put on pointy ears or something and I'll just sit there miserable pretending that I'm having a great time, and then I'll have to, for the rest of my life, come up with more and more inventive excuses not to be there. Turns out it wasn't like that, and I quite enjoyed myself and we're now here. But that was kind of my mindset going in. And also, I did not have a clue, but as a kid, on back in the good old PlayStation 2 mm-hmm. days, the Dark Alliance games, for anybody who has ever played them, that's part of the D&D umbrella. Mm-hmm. And so I played that, so I already had that experience with the world and all that sort of stuff and enjoyed it then. I just had no idea that it was connected until much, much, much later on. So, yeah.
Yeah, and really, for us, it was dead. I think, if I remember, I mean, I don't remember it at all, really, other than getting some incurable disease or whatever in the game, that is. But I imagine the guy running it probably wanted it to be quite serious and stuff, but I don't remember it like that. I actually remember it being quite, I mean, maybe not, but it's just knowing the guy, I feel like he might have really tried, and I hope we didn't derail to the nth degree, because a lot of games end up like that. But because it was a bar fight and all sorts, and we got some weird disease, and then there was a whole bunch of nonsense that happened shortly thereafter. But I came away, I've been playing games recently with guys who are like almost brand new. I'm not running it, I'm actually playing in their game. And it's super interesting to just see that completely new, kind of trying to play the game. And there's even simple stuff about combat that the guys they don't really know. But that, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's just fun to see them actually, the actual creative part of D&D and stuff, and kind of the explore, just the discovery kind of fun that you have learning about this new system and learning mm-hmm. these new things and learning a whole bunch of new stuff. It's a lot of fun to see, and I think maybe it's rose-tinted goggles I look back in that first game, but I certainly had a lot of that there because it was all so new. Certainly when, I kind of felt that vicariously through the guys I played with that are brand new recently, because I mean, I'm sitting in the player seat and seeing these guys play it almost like, for most of them, not, it's maybe not their very first time, but it's like first dozen games, so it's super early. The guy was a bit gutted because he put in a hag, and he just said, do you know what that is? Do you really know what that is? I said, I do. But it's like, don't worry, I'm not going to be like, oh, that's that and that's a weakness. Mm-hmm. But it's like, do you know, you might not enjoy it as much or something. There was a comment that made it sound like that. I said, nope, this is a blast because I'm playing dumb throughout my barbarian, so I'm playing actual dumb and just going crazy, and it's a lot of fun. And I look back, I think back to those games a bit like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes what happens for regular players or regular groups, once you play for 5 years, you kind of lose a bit of that fun sometimes. They evolve into stuff quite often more serious, maybe more rigid about how you should be playing it and stuff, and a certain criteria that GMs might, if it's a regular, mm-hmm. if it's the same game you play regularly, then sometimes it's like, they become more honed in about what you're expected to be doing in your games and stuff. Mm-hmm. Not saying that's out of games, but I've seen it before.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, whereas for us it was a lot of fun, and then it's now become years and years worth of hobby, mm-hmm. Almost on a weekly basis, except in the weeks that usually me cancels on or doesn't make it for. So, but yeah, pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and ultimately, thing always to remember is that, you know, at the end of the day, everybody's an individual. So although we are talking about our experience the first time turning up and doing something or whatever, that your individual players that you've got, if you're the DM, GM, you know, considering them or looking out for them or whatever, remember that remember that you could be as equally surprised as anybody by what's going to happen when they turn up, what their expectations might be, and you know, everything in between. So just bear that in mind. And again, the longer you run something, the longer you do something, the easier and easier and easier it is to forget that the simplest of things for you are the most complex thing in the world for that person at that point.
Yeah, especially if it's new people. And that leads nicely into just like for the first games that we ran, I think all of us, you know, it was hard, but a lot of the new games, that it was just hard to do. Like I prepped hours and hours, like 30, I'm not kidding, 30 something hours writing the whole thing, making portraits, backstories for every NPC, actually doing Photoshop work for all of the main places. And then I got to a point where I was just nicking stuff online, but most of it was like Photoshopped. Actual, like I'm going in and adding these like dark young trees. I took a tree photo, but then I made these roots come out in a circle. And it was all this work. I put so much work into it. And I look back like I'm glad that I'm not running games like that anymore. But at the time, I enjoyed it. We're just knackered, but I quite enjoyed the game. How did you find running your game? I found it pretty, maybe not overwhelming. Not your game, sorry. Running my game, I found a bit overwhelming. Just so much I was doing, because I felt like I had to prepare for everything. And it actually, I'd say, taken away from the experience, because I'd put, not stress, I wasn't like worried about it, but all that work kind of exhausted my enthusiasm, probably, thinking back. Like I didn't have as much energy as I thought at the time. Then the intro really just brought it down, I think, from what I remember, because it took so long. But yeah, so it wasn't a bad experience. It's just looking back to it, I'm just glad I don't run games like that now. And I learned a lot though. It was good to do, but it was hard. And that's, you're going to probably find that common.
Yeah, well, for me, kind of slightly different in the sense that was pretty early on you done that.
Yeah, it was.
Whereas I managed to duck out running anything for literal years of playing. I managed to avoid it.
What was it, a couple of years ago? I don't even know when it was now. It was 3 years later. Is it really that long ago, you think? I mean, it's possible.
Weirdly enough, I think it was about 3-ish, maybe more years since we first started kind of properly playing, and about 3-ish years ago, give or take, is when it would have been. But so for me at that point, again, so the background of I prefer to play, I don't count myself as being creative, and I don't count myself as being particularly imaginative. I'm a good copier / stealer, but that's about as much as...
It's only stealing if people catch you stealing as well. Just remember that. There's lots of GMs I know who pride themselves on amazing stories, but if you've watched the TV show they've watched, and they'll say they've not copied anything. I was playing a game. I've not seen the show, but I was told it's based on Shadow and Bone, and then I just checked that out, and I mean, yeah, it's pretty much the same thing. And there's no shame in that, by the way. So please do not worry about nicking other content. There's nothing wrong with it, especially it's a game, man. You're fine.
Yeah, exactly. You know, part of the fun is seeing if you do get caught. But you know, so that's kind of my starting point. And then,
God, I can't believe it's been that long since that first game. It's crazy.
I'm gonna say I got forced into it. I'm gonna say that, but I don't really mean it. And that, you know, there was, you know, my hamster got kidnapped or whatever, and it got ransomed back for the price of playing, running a game or anything. But I don't have a hamster, by the way. No hamsters.
Oh, not anymore.
Were harmed. I didn't pay up in time. Nibbles. No, but so, you know, it was encouraged, and I was. in kind of two minds whether to do it or not, and I thought, why not jump in the pool? If it all goes horribly wrong, nobody will ever ask me again, and then, you know, that's it sorted. Brilliant. So anyway, so I go and I do it, but also in the back of my head I'm going, right, of everyone who's there who's ran games before, I know the standard of it, I know the amount of work that goes in, and, you know, so I've got a wee bit of pressure building there as well. And I'm going, right, okay, well, a bit of self-doubt, am I going to do it as good as that? Am I not going to do it as that? You know, everybody's, people mentioned in the past, and, you know, everybody else is looking forward to a different spin, somebody else doing it, you know, all that sort of stuff. So then I have the fantastic idea of going, right, rather than going down the easy, nice, easing yourself in route, rather than listening to what everybody else has told me, I'm going to do everything they've told me not to do, pretty much, in order to make it as hard as possible and sink or swim. Let's see how this goes. That was pretty much my idea for it. So I kind of done your Photoshop route, albeit I never used Photoshop and stuff because I'm not that good at it at all. So I was just stealing stuff that I found. So loads of pictures, maps, full shebang, got music in there as well. I think that was the first time that most people realised that you could integrate music and stuff. I'm not sure.
I think we knew, but there was stuff that you were doing with the music, like loading in Roll 20, and you would, once you launched a new scene and stuff, there's a whole bunch of stuff I'm going, oh, because I always forgot to launch my music because I would have been in the middle of something.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, yes, finally something I can use on Roll 20. It doesn't feel like work.
Yeah, so done stuff like that, got all sorts of different things going on. And then the wheels fell off the cart. I still don't know to this day what happened, but basically, everything collapsed technology wise, which then kind of threw me off my rhythm because I was kind of relying on it to do stuff. And at that point, I didn't believe in myself enough. I was kind of using the technology as a sort of distraction. At least that's what I was thinking it as. And it just went horribly wrong. Tried, and should point out, if anybody at Roll 20 is listening and preparing a lawsuit, wasn't their fault, I don't think. But basically I tried laptop one, didn't get anything to work. There wasn't sound, there wasn't anything, really weird. Tried laptop two, same thing. Tried a phone, tried a tablet, nothing was working at my end. Everybody else's end was fine, and it just kind of derailed from that point. Now, in hindsight, at that point, should have just been, right, pause, not doing this, because I can't remember what we had done, if it was like a voice, like an actual
phone call through WhatsApp, yeah. And it was a waste, man. It was so much work.
Yeah, because it was delayed and feedback and, you know, all sorts of stuff. It wasn't good. Hindsight would have just went, hit pause, and then just restart another day, another time. But pushed on, went through it. The other thing as well that I decided to do was introduce different factions. Just add more complexity. Yeah,
secret messages that were like dynamically given out. And a lot of cool concepts, but it would have been hard. But I actually liked the game, though, by the way. I did enjoy it because I liked what you were going for. I just felt awful, but the techie stuff was a nightmare, man. It was awful. I've not seen a game impacted that badly with light type before. I think Roll 20 had issues. I think there was server issues, actually, which maybe was part of it. I can't remember, though. It was so long ago.
Possibly. I mean, it was bizarre how things just weren't working, and it was literally like refreshing, not working, resetting, rebooting Wi-Fi, not working, and literally device to device to device, not working. It was weird, and the fact that everybody else was okay. But so again, that was the other thing as well, because I had documents that would get updated with information as the game went on that was different for each faction, and you know, all sorts of stuff. So there was so many different plates to spin and just to try and keep everything going, and it was a nightmare. Like, it was horrendous, and I cannot emphasize, no matter how many times I talk about it, how horrendous it was to do. But bizarrely, my plan of make it as complex as I can, then no matter what happens from this point forward, it can't be as bad as that. And it's ultimately, that's true, which meant next game's going in and running it in the back of your head, you're going, well, can't be any worse than the last one. And that's been true. And also, it's let me know that, do you know what, maybe you're not lacking in as much creativity as you thought, and maybe you don't need to rely on, you know, distractions, fancy stuff to, you know, flip, and ultimately you should put the time and effort in to the story rather than getting nice pictures for everybody to look at, because at the end of the day, that's the important bit.
Yeah, and so all of this ties in. So this, I don't know what the title of this will be. This is like running for new people. But it's not just strictly running for like people who are new to the hobby. It's running for new people to run in games. Like, so yeah. That's just, we wanted to cover some of that. I'd realised that just with maybe how I introduced it, I didn't cover that. So it's because players might want to run a game. So that's some of the stuff that we were playing for a long time, doing our first game that we ran, and it was a disaster. Yours worse than mine, but I think your game was way better than mine, but you had all the techie stuff that totally botched all the stuff you were trying to do, whereas I think just the structure of my game was way off. It wasn't even a one shot, it was like three nights worth, because it ran for like 8 hours or something. It's just too long. Some people like 12 hour games. No thank you, I'm not interested in that, and that wasn't what we signed up for. But yeah, so that's some of the stuff that we've actually had happen, that we try and run a game, and it's like there's the over prep thing, and there's nothing wrong with trying stuff different, you know, because the thing is, if we've got a system your group's comfortable with, I've had guys who are running their first game and they just say, keep me right, Jordan. And I'm like, cool. So, but also in that case for that setup, because we didn't have that for our games, because I think Cthulhu, that was our first Cthulhu game, the one I'd done, so it was total like, you need to know this, Jordan. But certainly for other games, I tend to, if it's like someone new to running it, if they ask me for help, I tell them, run it how you want. Just, it doesn't matter how wrong the rules are, just get the game out first and just ask me if you get stuck with a rule or you want to know what the rule is. I'm always open for somebody to correct me on the rule. I really don't care unless you're going to interrupt us all the time and just keep interjecting. But that's never happened. So totally happy to do that. I've had people say, is it not this for the rule? Maybe I've gave him an incredibly difficult check. So, and these days, even Warhammer. I mean, I didn't know the blast rule, so I just went, who cares? We'll do something that works for now. Even though that's a new game and I did know the rules. So it was a much better system. So anyway, that's something that I think's very common, though. People way over prep for their games. And it's not even like there's anything wrong with doing tons of prep, because I always bash lots of prep because I don't do it that much. But it's something that the problem is, if you worry about all of that stuff in the prep stage, running it's going to be a lot more difficult. I don't really know anyone that's ran a game that's not had a really kind of self-conscious attitude about how the game was ran after it, if they worried constantly during the prep stage. I've had a guy almost quit he's like, I'm not doing this, you know, just because people were a bit rowdy and stuff. But that's because the guy put so much time into a game that was probably 3 weeks worth, but he'd only wanted it to be a night, but we couldn't get through all the content because there's too many people. There was like 6 or 7 people. So for him, it was a lot to chew. And I'd said, there's a lot to chew off as a new person running. So yeah, it's just, that's like my big thing about running. You've heard some of our little pieces there, and just take away what you will from it. But just, if you're running your first game, just don't overthink it. And that's easier to say, I know, than it is to actually do. But if you're putting in hours and hours of work into prepping your first ever game, then you're not preparing your first ever game. You're preparing a campaign which are probably not qualified. And that sounds bad, but it's better to, if you want to do that, it's fine, prep all that. But that's what it does, actually make a game that's designed to just be a single, like literally a single event that comes up in the night will literally probably last you the whole night if you include little character introductions and stuff. And then you can easily tie that into your bigger piece. If you try and do the bigger piece, you're probably going to... I've seen it, and it's just this happened recently, where we were all basically unloaded dumps of information, and it wasn't... And that wasn't first-time GM, by the way, but it wasn't enjoyable. You know, just most of us around the table, within an hour of hearing all this introductory work and all the lore, plus, you know, every, like, 5 minutes... Oh, every 5 minutes of game time, there was 15, and I'm not kidding, 15 minutes of, like, lore... backstory, stuff to do with gods, stuff that we were told that we should be thinking is super important and stuff. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with lots of prep, but just if you're doing your first game, just really seriously chisel that off and just take something dead small, because you see, if it's shorter than you expect, you can always improvise and take it from there. Or you can cut it early and just hang out for a bit as well. There's really nothing wrong with a 2-hour game. And I promise you, meeting people at the bar, introducing your characters to each other, speaking to somebody who has a wee quest, and then going out and finding out that, oh, that person that was robbed, you find out it's actually a cult that's actually stealing people's, I don't know, gold so they can use it in a ritual. That fight, that whole sequence is going to be at least a night's worth, even if it's just 2 hours. So just that's what I've learned, because I ran a game I read for, it's a published game, and I ran it for 30 minutes, and I ran it for all night, and it's going to go on 2 weeks. So now I've got the experience now for that, but once you get a few games under your belt, if you don't put tons of time into it, you'll be less worried about it going wrong. And that's the biggest thing. See that stress? I've spoke to GMs who've been worried. They're sitting there like, oh my God, that was awful. And that's fine. But if it's your first time, I mean, I say that about that Cthulhu game, but I didn't say that about the Cthulhu game right after it. It's only now that I've run tons that I look back and go, oh boy, that sucked. But yeah, just it's better just not to get too in your own head. I don't know what else to say, to be honest. So
yeah, and I mean, ultimately, if it's first ever game or early on, and you're doing as much prep as we done for our first games, then ask yourself the question: are you doing it because you want to polish and make sure the game's as good as it can be, or are you doing it because you're worried? Are you doing it because you're anxious?
Good question.
You doing it because, like me, you've looked at your peer group that have ran games and you've went, oh, I don't want to embarrass myself? Are you doing it because you've seen people that are doing like live like playthroughs and stuff or shows and you've seen them and you've seen their standard and what they produce and that you're trying to live up to their standard and their expectation? Rather than being aware and reminding yourself that, you know, this is day one in your journey, so your standard should be the best that you can be at day one. And again, best will in the world, if it is your first ever game, it's not going to be as good as your next game or the game after that or the game after that or the game after that, because ultimately every game that you do, you're going to learn something new. You're going to learn something that we are not going to be able to tell you, because each game is going to have its own unique situations with its own unique things get thrown up, because it's a unique set of players and so on and so on. And ultimately all you need to ask yourself is, was I better than the last time I ran it? And as long as you're saying yes, then that's all you need to know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not super rocket science, but it's not science. It's kind of, what's that? It's something to do with like art and science. It's more like an art running a game, because it is social. It's more about the interaction with people at the table. The formula that your friend might use might not be the one that suits you the best. Like our group, like we do... what the guys that other guys that run games in our group, there's usually tons of backstory, and we've seen one of these, like, what would you call it, like a dossier of lore or something the guy had, Lots of stuff, and that's really cool. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. Like you mentioned, doing all the support material. If you like to make that stuff creatively, do it for your games. Don't expect people to be seeing it in your first game, though.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's wasted. You can tie it in a future game. Mm. So just keep that in mind as well. But I was doing it because I thought I need to have all that. And it wasn't because I was enjoying it. But there was bits I enjoyed, but I was doing it because I felt like I had to. And that was my big mistake.
Yeah, and that's just what I was going to say. Like, when you're coming up with that material, whether you're finding it elsewhere and borrowing it, or whether you're creating it yourself, you know, are you feeling that you're having to work to a deadline? Are you feeling that you need to get it done by the game? Or are you doing it because you're going, I've got a bit of free time and, yeah, why not add to it? Are you doing it because it's giving you a bit of joy, it's giving you a bit of fun, it's giving you a bit of interest, you're planning your next game already, you know, what is it that you're doing? And again, the same thing, if you're not, you know, if you're not ticking the fun creative boxes and that you're ticking the pressure work side, then again, just hit pause, walk away from the computer, whatever you're doing, go take five and leave it until it's time to run the game.
Yeah, and the reason I keep saying about peeling it back, because seriously, you'll be surprised how much time people waste during a game. You'll be shocked. Even the biker game, that is a one-shot, and literally it took us ages to get out the intro. Now, that's not bad. You know, that's just what happens sometimes with games and certain players, especially players that get more engaged with games. They tend to do more things in your game, and it makes for longer sessions. So the whole thing about pairing it back, it's just you'll start to see the bits that works for you and what doesn't, and it's better to learn that than try and copy your pal.
Yeah.
Because if you feel like you have to do it, you'll kind of be emulating them, which is fine, but I feel like the most fun comes out of games when you find your own feet. Our guys like create tons of lore, like I said. I have stuff I sometimes type a bunch up, but I don't give it to folk. I usually leave bits quite loose as well, so because I'm not the most creative person in the world, sometimes the coolest ideas come out of the stuff people say, and I use a wee bit of that, and I use it for something later on, and they might even realise that that was something that they tied in. Maybe it was a decision that had ripples that affected something else, and they go, wow, I can't believe you thought of that all ahead. And the answer is, no, I didn't. I made it just before that next game because it was a cool thing you'd done. But I prefer that more organic approach, whereas other people like to create their setting. It's really a style thing, and that's just mine. So yeah, it's just worth thinking about all of that. And I would say, just to tie off then, because I think we'll probably go into this in more detail, because it was running games for newbies, but also it would be running games for people who are new to playing games. And that's something I'd like to touch on, but I think what we'll do is we'll leave that for another episode, because there might be a lot to unpack there, I'm thinking. But all I would say with it is, like, you see the same way you prepared your own games, and your first ever game you run, I'm talking about keeping it light, do the exact same thing for your new guys. I would say the highlights and maybe stuff we elaborate into would be, if it's about all new players, definitely get a setting that they want, even if it's D&D, whatever. Find a setting they like, or even if it's a horror game, you can still use D&D if you're most comfortable with it. But do a horror, do a theme that your players like, and maybe even grab a story that your group likes. Like, maybe there's a film you all watched and you loved it. Make a game based on that if you're doing something custom, or go for some of the big classics. Like, I mean, Strahd's a big one, right? But there's an introductory game to that which you could use that could tie into the Strahd campaign, which is all Gothic Eastern European folklore, which everybody knows, and it's iconic for the reason of the campaign itself's iconic, but the lore itself is iconic because people know it, we've seen it everywhere. So just, I would say that's like probably a big takeaway, but we'll break it in more detail later. But something, a theme or story that people will be familiar with is a good way to get going, because if they're brand new to playing games and you're used to running them, it's going to be hard to approach it the same way you'd approach it for experienced players who will know what to do when they need to role play, will know the role play sections when they come up. New players won't know those cues, and they shouldn't be expected to know them either. So you'll need to handhold them a bit, and a comfortable, familiar story Like I've mentioned Alien before, and having people new to role playing play it, but they're familiar with Alien, so they knew what to do. They actually emulated the films,
yeah,
and it got past that little bit of uncomfort, yeah, or discomfort.
Yeah, and on that as well. So for me, like, my summary of Alien and Alien knowledge is Sigourney Weaver's in it. There's somebody called Bishop. There's a bit with an air vent and a blinking light. There's a bit she's in the big suit. There's a kid at some point.
That's the second film.
There's more than one film.
That's new. There's four. There's actually more, but four is the original.
Ridley Scott. You know, aliens are. Jump out. They like vents. They're called xenomorphs. That's about me done at that point. That is my knowledge of Alien. I haven't seen any of the films, but you know, that is basically my knowledge of it. Everybody whinged about the kind of prequels that about Michael Fassbender's in one or more
two,
of them.
Two or three, maybe.
But I've seen different shows and things that parody bits of it. I've got enough through general kind of cultural context to know about it, so that when we played the game, despite not having seen it or anything like that, I was kind of already nearly in the world, and then just some final wee bits of kind of set dressing and storytelling, and then it was easy to click into, and I was there, and I wasn't having to stretch myself to kind of become the character that was going about.
Yeah, so for one of my groups, they were new to role-playing games, but in a setting super familiar to them and they're big fans of. For most of the guys in our group, about half of the players knew Alien, other half didn't. But they know, because Alien's such a... it's so well-referenced in kind of popular culture that... it's familiar enough. And there was bits you asked me about how the corporals should work, the corporate agents should work, and
but again, we just, my stab in the dark guess for it was right.
So, but it meant for yourself, not so much for Warhammer, which was way opposite the other field, but with Alien, you had more than enough. I mean, obviously, super experienced playing at this point, but you were able to take the bits of back kind of surrounding story and factor that in, and it meant there wasn't a hope, not a big amount of work for you to play it. So
yeah, and that's basically the thing. Like, although somebody might not be familiar with something, if there's that general cultural awareness of it, you're probably going to be a step ahead and you're going to have less work to do. Whereas, again, something like Warhammer, which is more niche, somebody's probably going to have a bigger jump.
We'll see if it's niche. I don't know, that's changing now, though, because there's now big games. So you'll see it referenced more, and I'll maybe suggest more Warhammer games at some point in the future. Mm. We'll see. I do have, like, three core rule books for it. Not that one. I've got Wrath and Glory and others. But anyway, that's whatever. So that's just a big... just because I mentioned running games for players who are new to playing games... so that's just a wee bit for that, but I think we'll maybe break that into bits, because there's a lot of little strategies you could use to really bring people in, but that's definitely the highlights. So, yeah, I think that's really it from us this episode. So just throw it to you for the socials before we wrap.
This half of this episode, I think, by the looks of it. But you can let us know anything you want us to know. Maybe put a wee asterisk next to anything and put not quite anything, but you know,
almost anything.
Yeah, almost anything. So if you're listening and watching on YouTube, there's the comments underneath. There's Facebook there. There's Twitter. There's not Twitter anymore. It's X. Sorry, don't cancel us for that. There's Instagram. There's Discord server, and of course, on all these different platforms, you can like, follow, subscribe, or you know, whatever the particular terminology is that you're supposed to do. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, other podcast people as well, of course, as well.
Yeah, so that's pretty much everything from us. So once again, thanks again for listening and or watching from me and
for, sorry.
thanks again for listening and or watching from me, and it's bye from me, sorry.
Okay, you sure now?
No, not really, but go ahead.
Bye from me as well.
See you.